Stay right there in your easy chair for 30 minutes of pleasure. Don't you go, it's more than the show. It's the talk of the desert.
It's the talk of the desert with Melinda Reed.
I just love coming home at night. I turn around, she's a treasure. Everyone and everywhere I go, she's the talk of the desert.
Now, here's Melinda.
Well, Fred Travellina and I were having so much fun on the first show that we did. I talked him to staying for a second show so we could talk more about his career and about the other people that he's invited to join us on Talk of the Desert. Fred, welcome back to Talk of the Desert.
It's great to be here. I haven't seen you in such a long time, Melinda.
I know it is. Well, thank you for doing part two of Fred Travellina. So you didn't know there was a part one and a part two,
no,
did you?
I didn't,
you?
But it's my privilege.
It's a goldenrod copy at the bottom of the stack of paper. No, never mind. Sorry about that. Oh, excuse me. Okay. Let's see. We were going to talk about some of the local people here in the desert that live here and have been guests on Talk of the Desert that you do impressions
well,
of.
Well, you know, it used to be Bing Crosby.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Bing Crosby sitting there singing a couple of songs about White Christmas. Always good to see you. Now, Bob Hope, I got to tell you, how about those troops, huh? Ain't they something?
Or Buddy Greco, it's Buddy's place, okay? Let me tell you something, it's Buddy's place. That's why the lady is a tramp. Whoa, you know. And let's see who else. Frank used to be here, you know.
Yeah, Frank.
Start spreading the news, Jack, you know.
Cute.
Plenty of people.
What about Jack Jones?
The Love Boat soon will be making another run.
So you get his residual checks for that?
I would like to get his residual checks on that song in particular.
Yeah, I would think so. Now, Jerry Vale.
I can't get you out of my heart.
Okay. We're going to send you on the road instead of Jerry.
I'm
going
to go on the road for all these people.
All these people. Oh, just think about all the money you'll be making then.
Hey.
Exactly.
Then you got people, the people who live in Vegas.
Yeah.
You got Wayne Newton who lives in Vegas. As an American Indian, I just want to say, even though you took our land, fed us fire, water, fooled around with our women, and broke every single treaty you ever made with us, thanks for coming to the show.
Or Rich Little. Yeah, I love living in Vegas. I get to do all those drawings and caricatures. Yeah.
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 That's very good. And Rich is an artist besides
yeah,
being. Yeah, he's an excellent,
excellent.
Artist. You do Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet?
A room with a. Nope.
No. What about Robert Goulet?
On a clear day. Come here, I'll punch you.
You know. Just kidding, Bob. Just kidding.
Well, we're talking about Las Vegas. Now, you have worked in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes.
Yes. What places?
All the old places.
The ones that don't exist anymore.
The ones that don't exist anymore. The last one was the Stardust, and they just imploded that one.
Yeah. Yeah, they sure did. It's talking about Steve and Edie. They were the last act in the Stardust.
Yeah. I'd love to get back up there for a long-term contract. I love Vegas. I love the people. I love the whole idea of it. And for a while there, Impressionists were kind of locked out of Las Vegas.
Why was that?
Because I'm not going to say his name, but there was an impressionist there who had that put into place, and we couldn't work 9 hotels, which were all the major hotels. And then when things switched ownerships, then they started to open up. You know, Rich still works up there at, I believe, the Suncoast Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And there's a kid up there named Gordy Brown who's at the Venetian. So it's opening up for impressionists again.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to be there.
And those are two of the other people that were on the David Letterman
the
show
David
on
Letterman show.
Impressionist Week.
Yeah, Impressionist Week was great.
Who were the other two impressionists?
Frank Caliendo, who does an incredible Dave Madden. And then there was Kevin Pollak, who is a wonderful impressionist, but now he's known mainly for being an actor. He was in A Few Good Men. He played the second counsel to Tom Cruise, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just thinking, you know, the way that we're going, I just put Gary Mildeer between part one and part two of Fred Travellina. I wonder what Gary thinks about that.
I don't know. You know what I love that scene? When Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men said to Jack Nicholson, he said, Private Santiago was leaving for the rest of his life. Private Santiago did not pack. Private Santiago did not call anybody. Would you care to explain that, Colonel? And Nicholson said, "Well, perhaps Private Santiago is a late riser. Perhaps Private Santiago has no friends. What are you going to ask me next, my favorite color?"
Oh, terrific. Well, we're talking about old Las Vegas. You said of all the hotels that used to be there, that you used to perform in. You've got a wonderful story about Red Buttons.
Well, Red Buttons, I have a lot of wonderful stories about Red Buttons. But Red was a very good friend of mine. And I will tell this joke now out of total respect, because when I was ill and I came out and did my first job was to MC a USO salute to Johnny Grant. And I hadn't seen
anybody. The mayor of Hollywood.
I hadn't seen anybody. Lois and I made a decision, you know, until was looking right, I wouldn't see anybody. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't seen Red, hadn't seen anybody, hadn't accepted any phone calls, anything. So Red comes over to me and says, "Fred, I heard what happened to you." He said, I just want you to know, as your friend, I was praying for you." He said, "I was praying you would die because there's so few club dates around."
Oh.
True story. But I do have a great story about Sinatra.
Okay.
1976. Fortunately, I have my Sinatra stories, you know. I was working Caesar's Palace with Julie Andrews, who was making her Las Vegas debut as a variety performer. And the place was sold out. It was just for a week. 36-piece orchestra. I wrote all kinds of new material, and I was doing my Frank Sinatra tribute at that point. And all of Hollywood, as with Shirley MacLaine, when she made her debut, all of Hollywood showed up. So you look through the curtain, and you see everybody you ever knew is sitting there waiting for the show. And I'm standing backstage. I'd done my rehearsal. Bill Rogers, rest his soul, conducted for me and did great arrangements. And I'm standing in the back, stage left, and it's totally dark except for a little work light. And the stagehand hands me my microphone, which in those days was still on a cord. Mm-hmm. And the minute I touch the mic, I know it's not the mic I EQ'd, worked with. I said, hey, this is not my microphone. He said, "No, that's the mic. That's the mic you're supposed to use." I said, no, it's not. I said, "Come on, don't mess with my head. I've got to go out here in 3-4 minutes. Come on, just give me the right microphone." He says, "That's the right microphone." He says, "Put it under the light, you'll see." So I put the mic under the light, and it was a solid gold microphone with the name Frank Sinatra on the microphone. And I said, "Well, I don't know who's going to get fired first, you or me." And he said, "No, Frank called up about 4 o'clock this afternoon and said that Fred Travellina is to use that microphone for the entire engagement."
Oh.
So when I went out and did that Frank Sinatra tribute that night, believe me, it was up about 5 notches.
I would bet.
Yeah.
I would bet. What an honor for him to do that
please.
For you. What a compliment, too. Now, let's go back to Red Buttons for a second. Mm-hmm. The story that I was told in between shows was that Red took you to his house and showed you a wall.
Oh. We took Red out to dinner, and he said, "Let's go back to my place. I want to show you the dead wall." And I said, Lois and I looked at each other like, "The dead wall?"
I thought all walls were dead, right?
So we go back to his place, and he opens up this room. And in the room is a table piled, with no exaggeration, graduating to the top of about 2 foot of 8x10 photographs of every human being in show business that ever lived, all with red buttons. He says, "Now, this is the dead wall." And he said, "The dead wall is the whole wall. And every person in those pictures was dead, except for Red." So we went around and saw the dead wall.
Yeah. And I understand while you were standing there at the dead wall, you did the impressions of the people.
I did the impressions of everybody. I did Cary Grant. I did Humphrey Bogart. I did Edward G. Robinson. Whoever was up on the wall, I did an impression of. Edwin. You know, that was always the one that kept me. Edwin, because he had such a unique voice. You know, wouldn't you love to have Edwin as president?
And now it's time for the State of the Union. So all of you just sit down, and I'll tell you what's going on.
Fred, before we go into the break, I do want to let our audience know, even though we talked about it part one, but you are going to be at the McCallum Theater
yes.
on February 11th in
right.
Comedy Tonight,
right.
along with Gary Muldeer,
right.
Jerry Van Dyke, and The Unknown Comic.
And The Unknown Comic,
yes.
Maury Langston, yes.
Yes, can we talk a little bit about The Unknown Comic so people know a little bit more about
The Unknown him? Comic is a brilliantly funny guy who was one of the television icons of the 70s on every game show and talk show that ever lived. He would just come out with the paper sack on his head and do these one-liners, and he's hilarious. So it's between all of us, all different styles of comedy. I'm looking forward to not only enjoying the engagement and being at the McCallum, which is a very big privilege. I've been coming down to Palm Springs for years and have always wanted to work the McCallum
So is
Theater.
This your first time?
First
at
time.
The McCallum? Fantastic.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful facility to work.
Yeah. And working with those guys is going to be a lot of fun.
Now, are you all going to be on stage at one time at certain times of the show? Or is there,
I don't think that's okay. going to happen. Maybe we'll do a finale or something
okay.
together. You know?
Okay, yeah. That hasn't been planned out yet.
Has huh? not been planned
Probably
out.
Probably at rehearsal at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on February 11th, huh?
Oh, that's the problem.
I'm done, you know.
Okay.
It's okay, Melinda. I have to live with this. You know, I have to
I'm
walk around
I'm just thinking about
like
Lois. I gave her a hug in between shows because... Yeah. I think she needed it.
Yeah. Well, whenever I say something Lois doesn't agree with, she says, take that back. I go, and I say, okay, I took it back.
You know, Fred, I think with that, maybe we'll just go to a break now.
Okay.
You've got to see Fred's show at Comedy Tonight at the McCallum on February 11th. We'll be right back with the... second half of the second show with Fred Travellina.
Don't touch that dial. Melinda and her guests will be right back. She's the talk of the desert. Melinda's back with impressionist and comedian Fred Travellina.
Well, I'm back with part two of part two. Does that make sense? Anyway, the second half of part two.
It's almost like a Rocky Balboa movie, right? Rocky 1, Rocky 2, and Fred Travellina 2, right here. There you go.
You got it. Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
yeah, Fred, I know that you've had quite an honor bestowed upon you recently because you really can appreciate our military here in the United States. And you got a wonderful opportunity to do something recently in Washington,
oh, yes.
D.C.
Well, I was in the service. Our country did survive.
Yeah.
My dad was in the service, a Silver Star, yes. Purple Heart winner. And I've done as much as I can for the USO. I was involved with the POW MIA issue for 17 mm-hmm. years. And we went back to Washington to visit the hospitals and to celebrate the 50th anniversary of USO. Mm-hmm. And they invited us to Arlington Cemetery to witness the laying of a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, we're standing there, and I said, where do we stand? And the girl said, well, the sergeant will come over and show you where you have to walk and how much. I said, why? She said, well, you're gonna lay the wreath today.
Wow, oh.
And I had nothing to say. I almost was I had to do everything I could to not weep mm-hmm. at that point.
I can understand that.
And that's what they let me do. They let me lay the wreath wow. at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Wow, and, what an honor.
That's pretty much saved for presidents, politicians, foreign mm-hmm. dignitaries, and things of that
but
nature.
But you went to the ceremony not realizing they were going to ask
I had
you.
Had no idea. No oh. idea.
So they drew a name out of the hat or something like that?
I don't know. I just, I'll never forget it. And we have just celebrated the Christmas holidays. As you know, I have two sons. Mm-hmm. And their lifelong buddy, Kevin Nussbaum, just came back from Iraq for Christmas holidays. He was over there for 7 months, and he too got a Purple Heart mm-hmm. over there and filled us in on war is still hell. and what these young guys and girls are going through over there. I hope this thing is over soon, and I hope that all of the goals are accomplished, but I hope it's over soon.
Yeah, don't we all?
Oh, yeah.
And I think we, most of us should agree that the goals are accomplished, but it's over with soon.
Yeah, soon.
Exactly. But did somebody say something about, during the break, that he's going back to Iraq?
He goes back to Iraq in September.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For another tour.
Really? Well, you know, what I can say is that I know that a couple of people that have lost limbs in Iraq have felt so strongly about what we're doing over there, they have gone back for a second time.
When we visited the troops at, was it I think it was Bethesda or Walter Reed,
Bethesda,
and 90% of those kids who were, some of them were amputees, said they want to go back.
That is just amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
It is amazing. You know, you would think that when something like that happened to you, you'd want to stay as far away as possible.
Far away as possible,
But now, you do have a couple of children, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And are they in the business?
Well, we didn't think they would be, but it turns out that they are. My son, Corey, is a videographer and producer, works with a big company in Los Angeles, and great photographer. I mean, just astounding stuff comes out of him. Good actor, too. My oldest son, Fred, is a motivational speaker for the Kirby Vacuum Cleaner Company. He goes all over the country for this company and prepares these training classes, and he's up there sometimes 8 hours, 3 days in a row. I don't know how he does it.
Now, I never thought about you'd have to have a motivational speaker for the vacuum Kirby vacuum cleaning company.
Well, can you imagine going door-to-door? Selling anything, least of all a piece of equipment like that, which is high-end.
Especially this day and age, going door to door. Yeah. No, I can't imagine that.
So we're very proud of both of them.
I bet you he uses a lot of your type of humor, though.
He's starting to do it.
Oh, he is.
I told him, I said, hey, when you get these classes and you're talking to them for 8 hours, it's always good to pepper it with some jokes.
Right.
So I've given him some jokes, and now he calls me up. He's heard a new joke. So, yeah.
And I also know that you do a lot of cruise ships.
Yes, I do. I do several weeks a year for Royal Caribbean. Sometimes I get a celebrity in there or Princess Cruises. But it's a nice part of my career. I enjoy the cruises. I enjoy the audiences. And Royal Caribbean in particular takes really excellent care of me.
Good. Well, I understand it's an excellent cruise line, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, and let's do some impressions of some dead people. We had the dead wall. Now let's do
Well, there's a lot of stars that we lost. That you know, like Burt Lancaster. How you doing, Birdman? Edward G. Robinson. Yeah. Watch out, Johnny Rico's coming. See? Yeah. And of course, Cary Grant. And I can't believe it. All these different people. And Gregory Peck. You know, I want Moby Dick. You know. Who else do we do that's no longer? John Wayne. Good to see you, mister. Get those wagons in a circle. Wah-ha-ha-ha.
Now, do you do an impression of Elvis Presley?
I certainly do. I came back, ladies and gentlemen. If your daughter married Michael Jackson, you'd come back too.
Yeah, I think you would, wouldn't you?
Oh, Michael Jackson. Hi, everybody. It's good to be back for my fifth comeback. Woo!
Okay, who don't you do?
Who don't I do? Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, you don't, okay.
I tried that for about 3 weeks, and just like the Henny Youngman line, I went to the doctor because I couldn't do the siren, you know.
Couldn't do the Munchkin voice anymore.
And I went to the doctor, and I said, I can't do these voices anymore. And he said, what are you doing new? I said, Bruce Springsteen. He said, don't do that. So I took it out.
Okay. Now, I know that you were on some TV shows. I mean, lots of TV shows.
Lots of ones.
I think one of the ones that I always enjoyed so much was Lifestyles of Rich and Famous. They came to you. Robin Leach was there in your home.
Robin Leach came to the house to interview me. It was such a wonderful interview. I hope he's listening. Good work, Robin Leach.
Did you like to show off your home?
Yeah, actually, we did.
What was having cameras in your home and things like that?
Well, it's happened about three times, and what amazes Lois and I both is that they come there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then they don't leave till 5, And all they show is about a minute and a half out of that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But your house always looks bigger. And it gives you an excuse to really spruce the place up. I mean, you know, you really go over everything with a fine-tooth comb.
Of course, of course. Now, you were on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yes.
Yes. What was Johnny like?
Absolutely fantastic. And I always tell the story because it's my favorite Tonight Show story. It was my first time on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And I was the second guest out. And knowing and loving Johnny Carson, I knew that he was going to ask me, do I do an impression of the person who preceded me or someone related to the person who preceded me? I knew he was going to do it. And the talent people were not cooperative with me. Well, don't tell us how to do our job, that kind of attitude. We know what we're doing. He's not going to ask you that. I said, okay. So a friend of mine went through Doc Severinsen, and we found out that Charles Bronson's wife, I believe her name was Jill Ireland, was it?
Yes, uh-huh.
She was preceding me, so I knew he's going to ask me to do Charles Bronson. That's it. So I went out and I rented a couple of Charles Bronson's movies, and I watched for 2 days, and I worked on The Voice. I didn't tell anyone, not my manager, nobody. I did my stand-up. I come over. I sit down. I didn't get into that chair. Then Johnny Carson said, are you doing an impression of Charles Bronson at all? And I looked at Jill Ireland and I said, hey, how come you're not home cooking a roast? And he pushed himself away from the desk. So one of the talent people who was not being too pleasant to me said, how did you know? I said, oh, you told me I shouldn't get prepared, so I just...
So I did.
One of those lucky breaks, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, brother. Now, you've done a couple of movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddy Holly story.
Buddy Holly story, yeah. I did a character in that called the Madman Mancuso. And Gary Busey was in that movie. Mm-hmm. And the character was just wonderful. And I stood my ground at that point. They were going to just do a one-camera shoot on it. And I said, no, you can't do that. This is the funniest guy in the movie. And Steve Rash, the producer-director, he said, okay. And he built a whole set for me. And every time that movie airs, I would say 8 out of 10 times, after it airs on, say, a movie of the week or something, I'll be walking down the street, and some young kids will go by in a car and say, hey, man, Mancuso, over here. And then I did a movie called Buy and Sell with Malcolm McDowell.
And it's Buy and C-E-L-L.
C-E-L-L. And in that, I did a character called VCR, who was locked in solitary confinement and could not relate to anything except by doing movie scenes. And that was a wonderful part. Wonderful part.
I'm sorry I missed that movie. I'm going to have to get it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah. Now we have 3 minutes left of the second half of part two.
Of part
Fred.
Two.
So let's remind everybody, February 11th at the McCallum Theater with Gary Muldeer and the unknown comic and
Jerry Van Dyke.
I always have to hesitate and say Jerry Van Dyke because I don't want to call him his brother's name. That would not be too good, would it?
Yeah. Well, they love each other, and I've had the privilege now, because of the Barbara Sinatra event, to work with Dick Van Dyke a couple of times, and he's just a prince. And totally professional in everything that he does.
Can you do Dick?
Cannot.
No.
Cannot. I can do Paul Lynn from Bye Bye Birdie.
Yeah.
God bless you. Don't touch me unless you love me.
Okay, Fred. I'm going to let Lois take you home here pretty soon. Or
okay.
To the home. I'm not sure which
not
that
the home.
Is.
I don't need the home.
Not yet. Let's talk about the book that you were writing about overcoming your disease because of laughter is, as I say, the best medicine.
It's a book. It's kind of hard-hitting. It's a memoir of what I went through with two cancers in a two-year period. And I'm cancer-free, and I'm healthy,
fantastic.
And I'm back working. And I wrote down everything that happened to me. I sent accolades to all of the great doctors that I had. Mm-hmm. But the primary principle of the book is to get closer to God, to pray and ask the help of the Holy Spirit to get through it, because God will heal you, mm-hmm. Based on Mark 11:21.
Excellent.
And you just don't give up.
That's
whoever
right.
you are out there, That's don't right. give up. Fight.
That's right. Okay, anybody you haven't done that you wanted to do on Talk of the Desert? I've had this whole cast of characters, haven't I?
I'm trying to think who else I could do that I've...
We've got about a minute left.
Well, I could always do Red Fox at the Battle of Bunker Hill. Don't shoot till you see the whites.
Well, on that note, on that person... Fred Travellina, thank you so much for being here on Talk of the Desert to
thank
talk
you.
About February 11th in the Callum Theater for part one and part two.
Well, thank
You're
you.
Welcome back anytime. Move here to the desert, at least part time.
I love it down
yeah,
here.
Yeah, absolutely. We all do. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
And thank you, audience, for joining us.
Stay right there in your easy chair for 30 minutes of pleasure. Don't you go, it's more than the show. Talk of the Desert. I just love coming home at night. I turn around, she's a treasure. Everyone and everywhere I go, she's a talk of the desert.
Melinda Reed's celebrity interviews are seen Fridays at 10 a.m. and Saturdays, Mondays, and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. But only on Time Warner Cable TV 10. For more guest information, visit our website, www.talkofthedesert.tv, where you can now listen and download to your iPods past programs.